بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are Java studying the sixth class on the subject of women using the book Women by Aghay Mahdi Mahrizi. Inshallah, this book which details the creation of women and goes on to describe her roles in society, in the family, and in other spheres of life. Chapter 1, Creation of Women. We are on chapter 1, and we are discussing the creation of women with in regards to the creation of women, with this basis that any religion, any ideology, the role of the woman that it describes depends on its concept of the creation of women. So last week, what were the faculties and abilities given to mankind, and is there a distinction between what women have from what men have? This was a question that we answered last week, and we came to the conclusion that all human beings share the same abilities and faculties that Allah has given to them. The question of gender does not arise in this arena. When it comes to the abilities and faculties that we have mentioned from the Quran, it is clear to us that Allah speaks about human beings in all those cases. And the term insan or human being applies to all men and women. Let's move on. Six questions were raised, out of which we answered two of them. How was the creation of women, and how does the Quran introduce the faculties of man and woman? Let's move on to the third question. What is the aim of creation of man or woman? What is the aim of the creation of woman and man? Third question, what is the purpose and goal of woman's creation? Let's see what the Quran says. Surah number 51 in verse 56, Allah speaks about the purpose of creation. In this ayat, Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn and the man, except that they should serve me. So here, the purpose of creation, Allah is mentioning in the ayat of the Quran regarding the jinn and insan, both of them. The first goal, meaning the first purpose of the creation, Allah's service. Obedience, service and worship of the Creator is the objective and purpose of creation. Allah has created insan so that he may serve him, that he may obey him, that he may worship him. Ibadat has all these three meanings. Allah refers to insan when speaking of this, and this term is used for both men and women. As has been described previously, and whenever Allah speaks about insan, then as a insan, as human being, this term is an umbrella for both men and women, and they are equally human. As such, both man and woman are duty-bound to serve their Creator. So the first goal and the first objective that Allah sets in the Quran is with obedience. And in the obedience and service and worship of Allah, all human beings are the same, which means that men and women are the same in regard to Allah's service. Both are duty-bound to serve Allah, and both have the obligation to obey and worship Allah and as their Creator. Surah Anfal, verse 24, call to life. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. So this is for the believers. Allah is speaking to the believers, and He is telling them to answer the call of Allah and His Messenger. So it is Allah who is calling, His Messenger who is calling. When the Messenger calls you to that which gives you life. You come to the second goal in this ayah, the second aim and purpose of creation. Eternal life. Prophet Muhammad invited the believers to eternal life. The intended goal of faith and belief is to give joy and happiness for eternity. Answering the Prophet's call would ensure eternal happiness. So the second objective and purpose of the creation of human beings was eternal life. Allah wanted to give human beings eternal life, a life of happiness and joy, a life of blessing and mercy. And this was the intended goal of faith, and hence the intended goal of creation, that man and human beings were created to have faith so that they can achieve eternal life. Because what Islam is calling to is life. Anything away from that is death. And hence, when life is the purpose of our call, of our answering the call, by answering the call that Allah and the Prophet have invited us with, then this is the purpose of our creation also. This invitation is to both men and women. And since the invitation is for both, then the opportunity to reply, respond, and achieve the purpose of this call is also meant for both. Since the invitation that is being given is to everyone, hence the opportunity and the chance to respond to it, to achieve eternal happiness, that opportunity exists for both men and women equally. There are two goals and purposes mentioned for the creation of women in these two ayats, as we had just read. One is Allah's obedience, two is eternal life. These are the two goals that have been mentioned. And in both these goals and purpose of creation, woman shares the same joy and the same accountability as men. And hence, the creation of both men and women as human beings is the same. This was the third question that we answered. What is the aim of the creation of woman? Woman's creation and goal is the same as that of men. And hence, they are to obey Allah, serve Allah. And second is that they may earn an eternal life of happiness, an eternal life of joy. Let's move on. Six questions we had asked at the beginning. Three of them we have answered from the Quran and from Hadith and from what Islam teaches us. The fourth question we come to now. How do woman and man rank in value? That is the fourth question. The fourth question. A number of values and virtues are stated in the Quran that distinguishes a person and raises his rank and merit. Meaning that Allah has mentioned certain values and certain virtues, which if acquired or achieved, will raise the rank of a person and give him more merit in the eyes of Allah and make him greater than others. These values and virtues are, throughout the Quran, have been mentioned. Are these values and virtues meant for both men and women equally? Or is there a distinction that some are only meant for men and some are only meant for women? That is the fourth question that we want to answer. Because in this, in the creation of women, this is very important to see what values and virtues a woman is able to acquire or not able to acquire, if that is the case. And if these values and virtues that make a person better than the other are equal for both men and women, or is there a distinction? Let's look at some of these values that are mentioned in the Quran. Faith and action. Iman and amalus salihat. Allah says in the Quran, Surah 16, verse number 97. Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unta وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا نُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good, whether male or female, and he is a believer, we will most certainly make him live a happy life, and we will most certainly give them their reward for the best of what they did. Now here, Allah, when He speaks about faith, which is a distinction, Allah has made it clear in other places in the Quran that those who have faith are different from those who do not have faith. Those who have iman are better than those who don't have iman. Hence, iman is a distinction. It is a distinction, and if a person achieves this virtue and value, then he will make himself worthier than the other. Now, is this distinction meant for men only, or is it meant for men and women? Allah, when He speaks in this ayat, it is very clear that He speaks to both men and women, and He says, Man amila salihan, whoever does good, and He specifies, min dhakarin aw untha, whether they are male or female. It doesn't matter. Anyone who does good, wa huwa mu'minun, with the basis, while he is a mu'min, on the basis that he has iman, he has faith, and he does good. So then what will happen? فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will most surely make him live a happy life. Meaning that Allah is saying that if you have faith and if you do good deeds, Allah will make you live a happy life. So here, Allah, when He speaks about faith and action, iman and amal al-salihat, He does not make a distinction between men and women. In fact, he says, for both of them, this is the case. If you do good deeds and have iman, you will live a happy life. Allah will give you a happy life. And we will most certainly give them the reward for the best of what they did. So whatever best they have done, whatever your best deeds were, Allah will reward you handsomely for that. So this is in terms of faith and action. The other distinction that Allah makes in the Quran is that of knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْإِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ Allah will exalt those of you who believe and those who are given knowledge in high degrees. And Allah is aware of what you do. So here, one of the distinctions that make one person better than the other person is knowledge. A person who possesses knowledge is not the same as a person who does not possess knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Are they who know equal to those who don't know? No, they're not. So Allah, He makes this distinction. In order that this knowledge can be a mark of distinction, it could be a way of gaining merit and rank above others. So now, this knowledge, is this meant for men or this meant for women, or do they share, or are they both able to acquire it? Are they both able to achieve this value and virtue? Allah, when He speaks in this ayat, He speaks to those who believe. And since faith is for both men and women, then their knowledge that they have, anyone can gain that knowledge, whether man and woman, will raise them high in degree from other people. So this is the third distinction, which is knowledge. Then we go to Surah 49, verse 13, and Allah has made a distinction of taqwa in piety, fear of Allah, or Allah's awareness in one's heart. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ So he says, O you people, again the translation here is incorrect. Nas stands for people. O people, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاس stands for people. And this translation that I took is incorrect. O you men, it says. But here, Ya ayyuhan nas means, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you from a male and a female, and made you tribes and families, that you may know each other. So all of this creation He has made you different and diverse. He made you diverse, He made you in a variety. That is the power of His creation. And He did this so that you may know one another, so that you can be recognized from the other. But with this background, or wherever you come from, that doesn't make a distinction for you. Then Allah is making a mark of distinction. He says, what will make you better than the other is not the tribe you belong to or the nation you belong to. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Surely the most honorable of you with Allah is the one among you who is the most careful in his duty. Meaning that taqwa is a distinction. Someone who acquires taqwa and gains taqwa is higher in rank than those who do not gain taqwa and who are not careful to their duty before Allah. So this is another distinction, and you see that here also, male and female are sharing the same ability to gain and acquire this virtue. Competing for good is another distinction, meaning that those people, as Allah says in this ayat, وَالصَّادِقُونَ الصَّادِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ in Surah Waqi'ah, ayat number 10 and 11. And the foremost are the foremost, meaning those who have gone ahead, they have gone ahead, they are ahead. These are they who are close to Allah, meaning those who compete to do good, those who strive and struggle and compete with others in goodness, when they are closer to Allah. This is another mark of distinction. This is another merit a person can gain. Now, this merit, is it for only men or only for women? No, it is shared by both of them. Both of them have the capability of competing for good. Both of them have the ability to run after good and to do good. And this is a mark of distinction. Those who do good and compete to do good, they're not like those who are sitting behind. Jihad. وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ عَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He says, and Allah shall grant to those who strive and struggle above those who are sitting down and doing nothing. And He shall grant them a mighty reward. Meaning that Allah has raised the rank. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ. Allah has raised the rank of the ones who are mujahid. Mujahid are the people who struggle, strive. Upon those who are qa'id, meaning sitting down, doing nothing. Ajran azima, a mighty reward. He has given them a rank above these people and a mighty reward. So this also is a mark of distinction, jihad. Now when it comes to jihad, the question is, well, they say jihad is not wajib on women, women cannot go for jihad. You see, the field of struggle is different when it comes to men and women. But the command of jihad is for both men and women. The field of jihad for the men is different than the field of the jihad for the women. Inshallah, we will go into that detail later on. But just to keep that in mind, that jihad fi sabilillah is for both men and women. But men's jihad, the jihad of battlefield, is meant for men only, not for women. But in other spheres where Allah has mentioned and the Prophet has described, we will see that there is jihad and the same reward of jihad for women also, and that will come later. Result. Virtues that are mentioned in the Quran that we went through. Six of them that we went through right now. First is Iman and Faith. Second is Amal al-Salihat, or our actions and good deeds. Third is knowledge. Fourth is piety, taqwa. Fifth is competing for good. And sixth is jihad. And all these six virtues, we see that the virtues and values mentioned are referring to both men and women, meaning that they both can run after it, they both can strive to achieve, acquire them, and they both have the capability of achieving these virtues and acquiring these values. Hadith. Let's read an interesting hadith. At the end of our discussion, let's read this hadith because it's pertinent to our discussion right now. This incident that happened. What is the incident? Asma bint Umays was the wife of Ja'far al-Tayyar, the brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Asma bint Umays, when she returned with her husband Ja'far from Ethiopia, Abyssinia, they had gone there because they migrated there from the first migrants to Ethiopia. They lived there for a long time and they came back when the Prophet was already in Medina. She went to the wives of the Messenger of Allah and said, is there any verse revealed in the Quran regarding women? The wives said no. The answer came to her in the negative. No, there is no verse in the Quran that relates to women or is revealed for women. She didn't like the answer. Then she went herself to the Prophet saying, the women are losing out all the time. You know, they're losing out all the time, she told the Prophet. Everything is regarding man. There's nothing regarding woman. Prophet asked her why. He said, since Allah has never referred to women in good terms as He did in regard to men, but every time Allah speaks about men and all the verses are regarding men, and there's nothing that came down regarding women. So when the Prophet heard that, Allah also heard it, and the following verse was revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab. He says, surely the Muslim man and the Muslim woman and the believing man and the believing woman and the obedient man and the obedient woman and the truthful man and the truthful woman and the patient man and the patient woman and the humble man and the humble woman and the almsgiving man and the almsgiving woman and the fasting man and the fasting woman and the men who guard their private parts and the women who guard their private parts and the men who remember God much and the women who remember God much. Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. In Surah Ahzab 33, ayat number 35, He revealed this verse in order to say that all of these qualities, meaning being a Muslim, being a believer, being obedient, being truthful, being patient, being humble, being charitable, being fasting, being able to guard one's private parts, being able to remember Allah a lot, all of these qualities that are mentioned, how many are their qualities? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 qualities that Allah mentioned in this ayat. He says, women have the same share as men and the same ability to gain those qualities, these values and these virtues. This verse made it clear that when it comes to values and virtues, when it comes to values and virtues, that's the conclusion. Women have the ability to acquire all the values and all the virtues meant for mankind without any distinction. Without any distinction, women have the ability to acquire all these virtues and values. And these virtues and values that make one person distinct from the other is given for all of men and all of women in order to acquire. So we will end over here. If anyone has any questions. Okay. The first question is, when Allah talks about knowledge as a distinction, is this a particular kind of knowledge? Knowledge is that information that brings a person closer to Allah. We have a hadith that says, Al-ilmu nurun yaghzifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha. That knowledge is light that Allah puts in the hearts of whom He wishes. So knowledge, this knowledge is that which brings you closer to Allah. It could be, and the highest knowledge of that is the knowledge of Allah, the recognition of Allah, then the recognition of His creation. That will lead to the recognition of Allah. That is also knowledge. So anything that makes us go towards Allah and helps us reach Allah is knowledge. That which takes us away from Allah, that which makes us have a hijab and veil from Allah, meaning makes us unable to recognize Allah, is called jahl or ignorance. Second question. You mentioned earlier, if we follow Allah's way, He will give us a happy life. But the lives of our imams are full of sorrow. Very good. The issue is this, right? When you are born, right, when you are born, when a person is born from the womb of his mother, you know how hard it is for him to come out? If you are mothers, you know how hard it is for you to have a baby. And we were all babies once, and we didn't understand it then, but it was very hard for us to come out. It was painful. It was a near-death experience. We were crying. We were in shock. We were upset. After that, you know, we left a comfort zone that was in the womb of our mothers, and we had to go through this hardship, suffering to come out. When we came out, then obviously there were different worlds around us, miles around us, and we lived a life. Now, tell me, we lived for a long time after that. Did we look back at that moment of our birth, at that moment when we were born, did we look back at it and say, and regret that was a very hard life we had there? That was a very tough life we had there? That was a lot of suffering we went through? You see that no one complains about that if there is life afterwards. Yes, if that boy had died then, maybe you can say, oh, he didn't have a chance to live. The relationship between the life of this dunya and the life of the hereafter, as an example, is the example that I gave to you right now. The life of this dunya is just like the moments of our childbirth where we are suffering. So we are going through hardships, and it's tough for us. And then when we get out from there, we live. And we don't regret that we went through that to come to this life. It's like that, the eternal life of the hereafter, this, in front of that life, this life will be overshadowed so much, neither will there be regret, nor will there be any memory. Now, when Allah speaks about the happy life, is He speaking about the hereafter only? Alright. When He speaks about a happy life, my friends, here also, I want you to understand it very well. You know, a person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he asked Imam Ali that, how do you know there is a hereafter? Imam Ali says, ask him the question back then. He says, well, how do you know there isn't? The person began thinking. Imam said, listen, if there is no hereafter, then the way I'm living my life right now, the way Islam has told me to live my life, which is a simple life, a life of contentment, is the best way to live a life in this world. There's no hassle, no pressures, no anxiety of all the dunya we are running after and all the haram that is being done and the sins that are being done. Nothing. Such a simple life where my mind is at peace, my heart is content. That life is the best life. And if there is a hereafter, then obviously you are in trouble. But the angle that I want you to look at this is how Imam Ali explained the life of this dunya. Really, the life of this dunya, happiness in this life, is something different than what dunya tries to teach us. Happiness is not laughing all the time, having everything to laugh at. In fact, happiness in this dunya is the moments of our life that we have been with Allah. Let me tell you a story in a few minutes. It's a long story, but let me tell you in a few minutes. Ayatollah Behjat was one of the great ulama and alims of our time. And I heard about him, that whenever he used to go after prayers to his home, people would go after him to listen to what he says. He doesn't used to speak a lot, but whenever he spoke with a lot of wisdom. And one day, there was an African kid, a student in the Hausa, who was walking with him. And to everyone's surprise, Ayatollah Behjat was speaking very openly and candidly with him. And they were shocked because he would not act like that in any way. He was different. His behavior was different. He was more open and asking him questions. One of the things that Ayatollah Behjat asked the boy was, how old are you? So the boy said, I'm 18 years old. And the boy, you know, not knowing the akhlaq or speaking with ulama, he's young, he's in the house there, asked Ayatollah Behjat back the same question. He said, well, how old are you? Ayatollah Behjat did not reply to that. He put his head down. After walking two steps, then he raised his head, because the kid asked him again, how old are you? Ayatollah Behjat stopped and raised his head and spoke to him three words. He says, Zindagi yani khushi. He says, life means happiness. And kept walking. Now, the meaning of that, what he was trying to say, was the fact that life, the true meaning of life is happiness. And happiness is only when you are connected with Allah. And that is happiness. And hence, your age, meaning if life is happiness, and happiness is only when you're connected with Allah, meaning your life is only to that extent which you were connected with Allah. Some of us have lived for only a few moments. Really lived for a few moments. Some of us longer. The fact is that life is happiness, and happiness is when we are connected with Allah. We will one other last question we had was, does this all mean that we are supposed to be the Khalifa of Allah on earth, both men and women? Yes, we already went through that. When Allah speaks about Khilafat and Khalifa, He speaks about Insan being the Khalifa, and Insan is both man and woman. Later we'll explain the details as to the application of that and, you know, where, for example, rulers would come in. And we'll discuss that later when that appropriate chapter will come. So inshallah, that is it for this week's class. And we'll see you and all next week. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this tawfiq. Wa la akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alamin.